Morning. Welcome to our chapel gathering today. The break is over, in case you haven't noticed. So if you, like me, have been hit with the rush of the semester picking back up, I hope that you can find this space one to rest your soul and your spirit as we hear from God and as we hear from our preacher from the preaching class, Charlie Tinsley. Also, if you are like me, you have not seen that. So perhaps there will be some education for those of us who are not in the Doctor Who world, although I have been told that I should be several times. So I invite you to take a deep breath, to feel that the Spirit of God is as close as your next breath, to breathe that Spirit in deeply, and pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We praise your name that no matter who we are, where we are, or when we are, you are with us, know us, and love us completely. We pray that we feel your presence this morning and are moved by your word into living a life closer to the one you call us to live. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 30, a song at the dedication of the Temple of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among the gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from all their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet, they cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this, so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by.
Before I begin, I want to make one last video reference to Doctor Who. And then I'll explain Doctor Who to everyone. So I love Doctor Who, if you haven't figured it out yet. I know there are many people here who like Doctor Who, but if you haven't seen the show, Doctor Who is about a species known as Time Lords, and they travel back and forth through time in a blue foam box called a TARDIS. I brought my TARDIS from home today. The places he travels to can be in either the past, our present, or the future. His purpose, as he tells it, is to fix anomalies in history and save human beings on Earth, hence the name Doctor. In the clip I just showed, you notice a multitude of men. That's because when the Doctor expels the majority of his energy, he regenerates into a different-looking Time Lord. But he's still the same Doctor. So the Doctor technically cannot die. And good luck wrapping your head around that. And what he does comes at a price, because he convinces humans to travel along with him as companions. But they are finite. It leads to some very intense bouts of depression for the Doctor, as he has to part ways when they age, or wish to have families, or go their own ways. We see this throughout science fiction. There is a fixation on wanting to master time, to be able to travel back into the past and prevent wars, to go to the future and find out where life is headed. But that's just the thing. It's impossible. And that's where we find the sage today who wrote Ecclesiastes. He is stuck in an area of confusion and helplessness. He has seen the suffering of the world and reduces it to being meaningless. He contrasts times and life for joy and sorrow, but he never gives a purpose for them. Perhaps this is why the sage declares earlier on in his writings that all in life is vanity. We know that joy and sorrow do indeed matter, and they do indeed have profound impacts on our lives. They both leave unmistakable impressions on us. They both form us. They both shape and drive our understandings of God and who God is. What the sage does get right is that there are indeed seasons of life. He is certain that the seasons exist, but he still finds little purpose in them. For Doctor Who, there is a time to regenerate into new life and a time to lament over loss of life. For us in the season of Lent, we find ourselves in a season of barrenness, navigating life with less as we reflect on the temptation and the final days of Jesus and his ministry. After Lent, we celebrate the risen Savior who conquered death itself. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Mourning and celebration are not solely defined within the parameters of Lent and Eastertide. Tragedy and calamity can strike at any time. We all have stories of our experiences with pain and lament. They come and go like thieves that steal our joy. Some we are vocal with, and some pain we cannot bring ourselves to speak to yet. That's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. What becomes appealing is the sort of time travel presented in shows like Doctor Who, or if you like, Back to the Future with Doc Brown. There are memories that we just cannot shake. Memories that haunt us. Events in our lives that have flat out wrecked us and shaken us to the core. We tell ourselves, I wish I could go back in time and stop that from happening. Out of this place of deep anguish and pain. And most of us, I can't speak for everybody here, but most of the people I know have longed for the ability to travel back in time and correct the wrongs done to us and others. All we would need is a TARDIS or an 80s DeLorean. But we know the truth. The truth is that we cannot travel to the past, and that can put us in a state of helplessness. This puts the words of the sage in a very real context. People say that the sage who wrote Ecclesiastes is depressing. But in this context, he's simply giving voice to inner pain and turmoil in so many ways that we cannot. And what I've learned in my own life is that having a voice is one thing, but using it to speak to the junk we encounter that life brings provides empowerment to the community it is shared with, but even more so to the person who speaks to the unspeakable. That's what makes Ecclesiastes a necessary mirror to ourselves. This feeling of hopelessness and depression in the face of seemingly pointless seasons of life, that interchange between the great and the horrible. Hold the words of the sage up to seasons of pain in your life. What you'll likely find is that you very likely had similar thoughts before, and you may likely have them again in your life. And what we need to recognize from this is that it's okay to doubt from time to time in our walks, to be in times of helplessness and confusion, seeking the proper outlets to help get our lives back on track with a faith even stronger and deeper than before. This is why we build networks, communities, friendships, and companionships. Because life isn't all joy and laughing. As Doctor Who would say, at times life is a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey mess. That puts us at the other appeal of time travel. The ability to go forward into the future and get away from the difficult times of life. The truth is the same as before. We simply cannot do it. It's often said that these periods of life bring refinement, focus, and a necessary resetting of our life compasses. Sometimes that's true. But what I found more and more often is that sometimes life simply just happens. There are indeed things that have a cause that is easy to trace. Other times, reasons are hiding in a temple filled with smoke from incense between the door and the shadows of the cherubim surrounding God at God's throne. The fact that we cannot simply travel to the future creates a tension in that smoke. It's a tension that resides between the seasons of time that the sage outlined. It's a tension that we would refer to today as the already and the not yet. It's the tension of knowing that the kingdom is so close at hand that we can grab it, and yet it's still far off. And no matter what season of life we find ourselves in, we are still within that tension. In this tension, pain becomes the already. Pain serves as the antithesis to the kingdom at hand that seeks to pull it away from our fingertips. But seasons of joy become the glimpses of the kingdom of love and celebration. And we get both, all of us. But that doesn't mean that we're beyond hope in our lives. You see, the fact that Ecclesiastes is a mirror at times for us is wonderful news, because the sage gets it. The sage writes words that we often cannot find for ourselves. The sage captures these moments of helplessness and uses their words in what I firmly believe to be a helpful and meaningful way. In some ways, the sage is saying, I get it. I've been there. Even in all my knowledge and my social status, I've been where you've been. That's exactly why the sage insists that we find ways to be joyful even in the midst of calamity. We too need companions for our journeys. They are sources of love, joy, and support. Even Jesus himself needed companions for his ministry. Jesus calls us to both companion with him in the world and to companion one another. And it's hard, right? Pain is not always personal. Sometimes it's communal. That's where the Spirit steps in to give the community strength to travel together through the mess, to navigate the present, and to walk a righteous path to the future. God longs to hold us, to comfort us, and to welcome us into loving arms in the midst of life's struggles. Christ is there too. Just take a look at this cross. Now, when we think of history, we think of timelines. Our timelines usually go horizontally. Then there's this vertical line that goes through the cross. That vertical line is Christ breaking through our timelines when we need him the most, interjecting, comforting us, and joining us for our journeys. And we're all on a journey to the future. And that future is the kingdom. While the earth is indeed our home, we are moving ever closer towards a completeness of our dwelling here. Take the image of the cross and share it with one another. Share it with your family, your community, and yourself when things seem confusing. Lend an ear, a hand, a period of time for one another. Find comfort in the fact that Christ is always ready to break through into our timelines and empower all of us to continue our journeys and companion one another. Because we know some of these life events have a way of throwing us off course, sending us back on routes that we've already taken and changing our direction completely. So life does indeed take time to live. We cannot jump in these time machines with Doctor Who or in a DeLorean, and we cannot rewind our lives. The one thing we can be certain of is the time we have now. And that makes our journey a long one. And yet we know where it leads. No matter what twists and turns arise, no matter what winds blow, no matter what seeks to pull our foundations out from under us, we are all on the same journey in the timeline of God. We are all heading towards the kingdom, our true home, the long way around. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we near Palm Sunday and Good Friday, Lord, be with us in this final push of lament. Be with us in the midst of the coming celebration, Lord. We are grateful for you interjecting in our lives, for companioning us and challenging us to companion one another. In your name we pray. Amen.